أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين، شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين، محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah, and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the best of speech is a book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all matters is to innovate in religion, and every such kind of innovation is a misguidance, and misguidance leads to the hellfire. يا أحباب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كنا في لقاء سابق قد عرضنا لمقولة ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه التي رواه الإمام مالك في موطئه، وجاء فيها أن ابن مسعود كان يخاطب أحد أصحابه فقال له: إنك في زمان قليل قراؤه، كثير فقهاؤه، قليل من يسأل، كثير من يعطي، تحفظ فيه حدود القرآن وتضيع فيه حروفه، فيه أناس يبدون أعمالهم ويخفون أهواءهم. One time we have mentioned a beautiful statement that was made by Ibn Mas'ud, collected by Imam Malik in his book Al-Muwatta. And in it it said that Ibn Mas'ud was talking to one of his friends and he said, we live in a time where the reciters of the Qur'an are few in numbers, people who are well versed with the Qur'an. But the people who have an understanding of the message and the meaning of the Qur'an, they are in huge numbers. He said, in the time that we are in, people care more to observe the commands of the Qur'an, not to preserve the letters of the Qur'an. He said, the what-if questions are rarely asked. Even though if they were asked, there are many people to answer them. He said, in our time, people put aside their ego and they pay more attention to their deeds. إِذَا صَلُّوا أَطَالُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمُوا قَصَرُوا الْخُطْبَةِ. Said that whenever they pray, their prayers are long. They enjoy the meaning of the Qur'an. And whenever they pray, and whenever they talk, their speeches are very short. وَسَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَقُولُ. But then he said, there will come a time, كَثِيرٌ قُرَّاؤُهُ قَلِيلٌ فُقَهَاؤُهُ, where the number that of the people that are well versed with the Qur'an, they know how to recite it beautifully and perfectly, he said they're going to be in abundance. But the people who have understanding of its meaning are going to be very few in numbers. تُحْفَظُ فِيهُ حُرُوفُ الْقُرْآنِ وَتُضَيَّعُ فِيهُ حُدُودُهُ. So people are going to pay a lot more attention to preserving the letters of the Qur'an, but they're going to be heedless about the commands of the Qur'an. So these are people that pay more attention to their ego and they put aside their deeds or their work. Whenever they speak, their speeches are very long. Whenever they lead the prayers, their prayers are very short. See, my brothers and sisters, what Ibn Mas'ud is telling us is this, that there is going to be a disease that is going to creep into the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we will become so trivial, where style becomes more important than substance, appearance becomes more important than essence, what it looks like is more important than what it is. And in the process, what happens? Because people become so trivial that the whole concept of priorities are lost. Priorities are lost because from now on, we are working towards that which looks good or that which is going to make us look good. And that is why, subhanAllah, throughout the Quran, throughout the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are taught that substance is more important than style. That what it is more important than how it is. That who is in it is more important than what do they look like. That's why, inshallah, in these short few minutes that we have,
like to talk about a concept that we have been heedless about lately, and that is the concept of priorities, and how Islam has presented this beautiful concept. Imagine this. Few days ago, a catastrophic accident took place, a car accident, traffic accident. And the patient, one of the people, was brought into the emergency room. Had broken bones, but yet that person was bleeding so bad. The emergency doctor comes in and sees the patient and decides that what he needs to do now is to fix the broken bones. And the doctor started fixing the broken bones, taking x-ray of this bone and that bone and fixing the fingers and the wrist here and there. And while he is doing so, the patient died. How would you feel about such a doctor treating you? It is known that a person that is bleeding or bleeding is more important to be taken care of than the broken bones. Not that the broken bones are not bad. It is bad, but there is something worse that is going on there. Yet, many times we are occupied in our lives in such a manner. You know, one time a group of the companions, they sat down and they said, let us think about what is the deed that would please Allah most. You know, they were very careful, as you know, they want to do something that will get the most reward. So one of them said, it is providing water to the pilgrims. You know, Mecca was a very isolated place. So he said, the best thing to do is to provide them with water. The other person said, you know what, it's good. But better than this is to maintain the house of Allah. Can you imagine the house of Allah, the first house that was ever dedicated to the worship of Allah, maintaining it is better, he said. Someone else was sitting and he said, you know what? What you mentioned is good. But more important is what? He said, to strive in the path of Allah. To be in jihad, the elimination of oppression. And then Allah reveals the Quran. In such very strong statements, Allah says, أَجْعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِّ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, do you make equal the providing of water to the pilgrims, the maintaining of the house of Allah? Do you equate them with he who believed in Allah and the Day of Judgment and dedicated himself to the concept of jihad, the elimination of oppression? لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, they are not equal in the sight of Allah. And that is the point, my brothers and sisters. The previous deeds are good, but are they the best? Not only that, are they the best to be done now? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves as Muslims nowadays. Now all these good deeds are out there. We want to know what is the best deed so that we are preoccupied and consumed with this. يقول ربنا جل وعلا تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أكثر عملا قد أحسن عملا. He said, glorified be your Lord. Then the verse goes on to say, he created death and life to test which one of you is going to perform the most of deeds. No, he said, the best of deeds. أحسن عملا. Who's going to do that? And we see also in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be asked, different people will come to him and they'll say, Ya Rasulullah, ma ahabbu al-a'mali ila Allah. Prophet of Allah, what are the deeds that are most loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To a young man, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, al-iman billahi wal-jihadu fi sabilillah. He said, to believe in Allah and to strive in the cause and in the path of Allah by means of jihad, elimination of oppression. Someone else comes and he asks the same question. And the Prophet ﷺ tells him, Al-Iman billahi wa birrul walidain. He said, to believe in Allah and to be good to your parents. Someone else comes and the Prophet ﷺ says, it is to believe in Allah wa salatu fi waqtiha, and to pray on time. Here the Prophet ﷺ is not contradicting himself. He is telling us that many times the best of deeds depends on who's asking them. You may be doing something that is good, but is this the best that you can do? You may be busy, but so are the ants. They're very busy. But as a result of your business, what are you producing? And again, these are questions that we ought to ask ourselves. Imam Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, لَيْسَ الْفِقْهُ أَن تَعْرِفَ الْخَيْرَ مِنَ الشَّرِّ وَلَكِنَّ الْفِقْهَ أَن تَعْرِفَ خَيْرَ الْخَيْرَيْنِ وَشَرَّ الشَّرَّيْنِ. He said, wisdom or understanding is not the ability to distinguish that which is evil from that which is good. Many times many people can know this, but he said true wisdom is to be able to tell which is the best of two goods and which is the worst of two evils. So that you keep yourself busy in such a manner with things that are of importance, things that are of value. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was teaching Islam, Aisha says, كَانَ أَوَّلَ مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Amongst the first things that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one is worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ أَوَّلَ مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَا تَزْنُوا وَلَا تَشْرَبُوا الْخَمْرَ لَقَالَ النَّاسُ وَاللَّهِ لَا نَتْرُكُ الزِّنَا وَلَقَالَ النَّاسُ وَاللَّهِ لَا نَتْرُكُ شُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ. She said, had it been, she said that the first thing that is revealed is La ilaha illallah. She said, had it been to tell people to cease and attain from fornication or not to consume alcohol anymore, people would have said, by Allah, we will never cease from fornicating. By Allah, we will never stop drinking and consuming alcohol. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving priorities to that which is most important and not to that which is least important. The Prophet ﷺ one time is talking to Aisha and he looks into the Kaaba, the building that was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said that Aisha, had it not been that these people are new to Islam and they just departed from Jahiliyyah, from their days of ignorance, I would love to rebuild the Kaaba the same way that it was built during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine, the way the Kaaba looks today is not the same way that Ibrahim alayhi salam built it. And part of keeping that legacy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I would love to rebuild it the same way that Ibrahim alayhi salam had it. But then the Prophet said, if I ever start something like this, these people are new. They're still taking their baby steps. They just made the U-turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this is not something to occupy people with. But many times, my brothers and sisters, we do not challenge and we do not think critically. You know, they have a story, I don't know if I told it here before or not, but they said that a group of sociologists, they got 10 monkeys in a room. And in that room, they had a bunch of bananas hanging from the ceiling. And under the bananas, they had a table there. So what a monkey would do is get on the table and reach the bananas. But what I also did is that they had fire hoses that were filled with ice cold water. So every time the monkey would attempt to get the bananas, they would hose that monkey with ice-cold water, and then they would hose all other 9 monkeys with the cold water. So the first monkey makes an attempt to get the water, he gets hosed down, and everyone else is hosed down. The second monkey tries, the third monkey tries, they get the idea. Every time we attempt to get the bananas, we're going to be hosed down, so forget the bananas. Then what these sociologists did is that they took away the fire hoses, so no more watering and hosing was going to take place, but the monkeys did not notice. The following day what they did is this. They pulled one of the old monkeys out and they put a new monkey in. So the new monkey walks in the room, he sees the table, the bananas, common sense to him, he wants to step on the table and get the bananas. But to his surprise, all 9 monkeys, they gang up on him and they beat the living daylights of the monkey. The monkey doesn't know why, so he's beating so badly, he just wants bananas. But then he figures out that, you know, no bananas for me today. The next day, they do the same experiment. They take a monkey out, they put a new monkey in. Same thing happens. The new monkey sees the bananas, wants to get the bananas. All 9 monkeys, they gang up on him and they beat him, including the monkey that was beat up yesterday. Doesn't know why he was beat up, but since someone else did it to him, now he is doing it to them. And the story goes on to say that every day they would pull a monkey out and they would put a new monkey in. Pull a monkey out and put a new monkey in. Until all 10 monkeys, they were all new, but no one of them would attempt to get the bananas. None of them has witnessed the original incident, yet none of them had the courage and said, let me try what would happen. But because an old monkey was doing it, now the new monkey is doing what he does best, and that is to imitate. Now many times, sadly, my brothers and sisters, we do the exact same things. We behave exactly like these new monkeys. Where we come in, and we see people doing something and we just want to do it without really thinking, is this the best for our time now? Is this really the most important thing in our community right now? You know, subhanAllah, as Napoleon was marching from France and he was coming to Egypt, said that, you know, people in the mosque were discussing a very important subject. They said, if a woman grows a mustache, is she allowed to shave it or not? Your country is about to be invaded. You are about to be raided. And you all care about is this topic? Now the topic may be important to some people, but should it be the topic that is of importance to every single person? SubhanAllah, come to our masjid. Come to our masajid. And just see the kind of things that are keeping us busy. You know, during the time of Ramadan, is it going to be 8 or is it going to be 20? Wallahi, there was a masjid when you had two jama'ah, two groups were praying in the same hall at the same time. Because someone felt that, you know, it is very important that they pray 8, and someone else felt that it's very important that they pray 20. One time, during the time of Hajj, Uthman ibn Affan along with Ibn Mas'ud, they went to perform Hajj. And when they got to the place of Mina, in Mina you're supposed to shorten your prayers. So Ibn Mas'ud, Uthman decided that he was going to pray either Dhuhr or Asr, 4 rak'ahs. So Ibn Mas'ud came to him and he said, you know, I performed Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we got to this place, he prayed Dhuhr or Asr, 2 rak'ahs only. He shortened his prayers. So do like what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Uthman ibn Affan was of a different opinion. And he decided that he was going to lead the believers to pray 4 rak'ahs instead of 2. Now imagine this yourself. You have seen the Prophet ﷺ. You prayed behind him that this is what he did. So Uthman leads the prayers. Ibn Mas'ud prays behind him. When the prayers were over, a group of people came to Ibn Mas'ud and they said, you know, Ibn Mas'ud, we thought that you said that you prayed behind Muhammad ﷺ 2 rak'ahs, not 4 rak'ahs. Maybe you should have waited until the prayers were over and then you'd have prayed your own prayers 2 rak'ahs only. Then Ibn Mas'ud said, listen to me, ya ayyuha an-nas isma'u. Qasr as-salati sunnah wa ijtima' al-muslimin fariida, fala tutraku as-sunnah min ajli al-ityan bil fariida. He said, people, listen, shortening your prayers is a sunnah. The unity of the Muslims is an obligation. You do not waste an obligation to perform a sunnah. See this beautiful understanding of those who graduated from the teachings and the university of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we give the right due to that which is important. Imagine, subhanAllah, nowadays. You saw the horrific accident that took place. It's not accident, but it was a mass murder that took place yesterday in Spain. We're talking about 1,400 people that were injured. At least 200 people that are killed. Just imagine the number of children that were made orphans. The number of women that were made widows. And the first thing that happens is, wallahi, when I heard it, I said, Allah, please let it not be the Muslims. Allah, we don't want to be, again, we don't want to be put in that position where people are going to point fingers and say, here they come, here they strike again. It was our 9/11, now it is their March 11th. They did it, the Muslims, the extremists, the militants, the fundamentalists. And I'm saying, Allah, please, not us. And subhanAllah, in the midst of these challenges that we are going through, we feel that we have not raised to these challenges. We did not, my brothers and sisters. Again, just looking into what is keeping us busy. The things that we talk about. What is this, subhanAllah? This is not what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. You know, in the midst of this, that's not what, you know, rak'ah, how many rak'ah is tarawih. Don't come to the midst. Don't pray tarawih. It's a sunnah. But for you to come and make all these divisions amongst the Muslims at the expense of the unity of the Muslims, now that is a disgrace. That is indeed despicable, my brothers and sisters. We need to rise to these challenges. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله عملا بالنهار لا يقبله بالليل وإن لله عملا بالليل لا يقبله بالنهار. That Allah has designated some deeds to be done during the daytime, and He will not accept it at night. And Allah has designated some deeds to be performed at night, and He will not accept it if it is performed during the day. Meaning that, let us use that scale that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used. That we were taught by our scholars that in Islam there is, yes, a fiqh of what we call the fiqh of priorities. That certain things are important, but certain things are more important. And we do not want to be occupied with that which is least important at the expense of being heedless and being negligent of that which is more important. And also the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran makes it clear that many times people use success to determine success, you know, the number. How many here, how many there. And many times Muslims, we do this. You know, it is nice to boost our morals when we say Islam is the fastest growing religion. So many people have accepted Islam. But that is not the point, my brothers and sisters. Success is not determined by the number of people that come in or the number of people that go. That's why throughout the Quran we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never made it a point that more means better. That was never the case. Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali, may Allah bless his soul, he makes the following point. He said, تِعْدَادُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أَيَّامِنَ هَذِهِ بِلْيُونَ مُسْلِمٍ وَهَذَا الْبِلْيُونَ فِيهِ أَصْفَارٌ كَثِيرًا وَعَدُّ الصِّفْرِ وَاحِدٌ خَطَأٌ فَاحِشٌ لَا يُغْتَفَرٌ. He said, nowadays, the number of the Muslims exceeds a billion, but this billion is made of many zeros. And to consider a zero to be a whole number is a great mistake. Said it's just one, but next to it is a zero, another zero, another zero, put another zero, another zero, and that's how you get a billion. With a big number of zeros. One time Umar ibn Khattab was sitting with his companions and he said, Ya ayyuhan nas tamannaw. He said, people, if you had a wish that would be granted, what would it be? فقال أحدهم يا عمر أتمنى لو أن الله وهبني بيت هذا البيت مملوءا بالذهب والفضة لأنفقها في سبيل الله. He said, I would pray to Allah that this room be full of gold and silver so that I spend it in the path of Allah. Then Umar kept quiet and he said, Ya ayyuhan nas tamannaw. Come on people, if you were granted a wish, what would it be? So the other person said, you know what, maybe gold and silver is not that great. I'm going to ask for jewelry. And I'm going to ask for pearls, noble stones. And Umar kept quiet again and said, wish. So people said, we don't know what to wish for. Then Umar ibn Khattab said, had it been my way, I would wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant me men of the caliber of Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah, of the caliber of Mu'ad ibn Jabal, of Shurahbil ibn Husna, so that I may use to further the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this time what we need is men, my brothers and sisters. People of action, not people who are very revolutionary in their thoughts and can be very impractical in their actions. One time, a sheikh came to deliver a speech in a big conference, and when he got to that area, you know, the people who attended the conference were very few in numbers. So the organizers were very disappointed and they said, look, we brought this man from such a great distance and only a few of us are here. And the man knew what was going through their mind. He said, people, do not be disappointed by your numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst our faithful. We are looking for faith amongst our numbers. And that is what we want. Faith amongst our numbers. David and Goliath. You see, you know, it was not there. It was not meant to be. But because there was faith amongst the numbers, there was success. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسوله المصطفى وعلى من بآثاره اكتفى. Now my brothers and sisters, when there are so many challenges, it's a good time to be living in. Because there is so much that can be done. However, in the process, set your priorities right and make sure that you have good perception of what is happening there. A Muslim is never to be a pessimist. My brothers, again, no matter how bad they talk about us, no matter how many of us are bad and they're doing bad deeds, messing up the image of Islam, remember that it is all about perception. How do you see things? And I said that one time, a father was busy finishing a project. And his son came to him and he said, Dad, you want to play with me? And the father said, not now, I have to finish this. He said, Dad, but you promised. So now the father is feeling all bad and he said, okay, I'll play with you. And he had a paper there. It had the world map. So he said, okay, fine. He tore it apart to small pieces and gave it back to his son. And he said, when you finish putting it together, I'll play with you. And now the father is thinking to himself, you know what? I've got him busy for at least an hour. Because it was going to take a long time for him to fix this. 5 minutes later, the boy walks in with the map all done. I said, what did you do?
He said, Dad, what I did is I turned the page over and there was a face that was easier to fix. So when I fixed the face, the map was fixed on the other side. It is about perception, my brothers and sisters. You know, what is it that we want to see, subhanAllah? There is so much negativity out there, but there is also a lot of work and there is challenge. And speaking of challenge and speaking of priorities, let me tell you very quickly to say that, alhamdulillah, in the US we have really been maturing, alhamdulillah. And comparing our situation 10 years ago, you know, by now, we see that we have, alhamdulillah, made great advancements. That is part of boosting our morals. Alhamdulillah, of the organizations that have really helped in this process was our brothers and sisters in CARE. Now you would agree with me that subhanAllah, the work of CARE has been tremendous. That many times when these senators, when Congress people, when people write books, they pay attention and they're very cautious about what CARE is going to do to them. CARE is going to be behind them. You see that, you know, when our brothers and sisters lose their jobs, when our brothers and sisters, they are detained wrongfully and unlawfully, CARE is the organization that is there behind them. And the work of it, subhanAllah, we can talk about so many times. The articles that they have responded to, the Congress people that they have responded to, the fact that they brought the statements of the Muslims, now that the voice of the Muslims is counting, a great part of it has to do with our brothers and sisters in CARE. I don't want to talk more about what they have done because alhamdulillah, mashallah, you know about their achievements and what they have been doing. The point is now is, what is our obligation towards these brothers and sisters? They are understaffed. They are overworked. They are underpaid. In Tucson, Arizona, Phoenix, this is a big state. Arizona, there is only one employee for the CARE office there. And she happened to be a sister that does a marvelous job. Now subhanAllah, remember what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. That al-Muslimu akhul muslimi la yakhzuluhu. He said that the Muslim is the brother of his fellow Muslim. And he does not let him down. Does not let him down. You know, I may not be able to be all over the media. I don't have these skills. I do not have the skills to go and talk in schools. I do not have the skills of public relations or talk about Islam. But someone else at CARE is doing it and I want to be part of it. So beautiful, subhanAllah. The sister that I'm telling you in Phoenix, she said, one time I went to a high school on behalf of CARE to deliver a speech there, talk about Islam. She said, by the end of my speech, this student came to me and he held my hand and he said, thank you very much. For the first day, I'm going to tell the people that I am a Muslim today. He felt so proud that someone came and gave a beautiful representation of Islam and he said, today, I am going to reveal my identity. And I am going to do it with pride. Why is this? Because alhamdulillah, someone has really dedicated themselves, put the priorities right, and we are there. My brothers and sisters, of these priorities that we have to pay attention to nowadays is our image as Muslims, defending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, before weapons of mass destruction are fired, they are all preceded by weapons of mass distraction. Convince the people that Muslims are bad. Give them maize. Let the people know that whenever a bomb takes place, let us all point finger to the Muslims. And that is what they have done. And they are succeeding. However, we do not want to give up. Please do not give up. Please be optimistic. This is of the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And remember, please help your brothers in CARE. This is not a fundraising. On your way out, if you are not a member, please do become a member. It does not cost much. All it says is that, look, we are a big place. We are a big Muslim organization. It's a big institution that is working for the civil liberties of the Muslims and for the rights of the Muslims. And we are all behind that organization. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us facilitators of peace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us inner peace and outer peace. And make us of those who spread peace all over the world. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta ya Rabbana ya dal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma farraj hamma al-mahmumin. ونفس كرب المكروبين اللهم ارحم موتانا وفك أسرانا واشف مرضانا واختم بالصالحات آجالنا اللهم ارحمك بالمسلمين في كل مكان ارحمهم في أفغانستان وفي العراق وفي كشمير وفي فلسطين وفي كل مكان استضعفوا فيه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم كن لنا ولا تكن علينا وامكر لنا ولا تمكر بنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه